Welcome to the Sportscast, November 19th, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all of our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you are listening on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. It's Thanksgiving week, guys. So we're having a tight week. Week 11 is wrapping up tonight. Thanksgiving games are this weekend. And to start off the week, we got Ryan Krista on the line. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Thank you, Santiago. Glad to be talking and recapping some football, some other news, and looking forward to awesome, a great week of sports, also known as Feast Week.
It is Feast Week. It's going to be a lot of food, a lot of football, a lot of sports. It runs through the holidays, but let's begin with the Vikings and Bears. Last night, the Bears defeated the Vikings 25-20. Trubisky had a great game. What were your thoughts about this NFC North rivalry?
Well, it was, you know, kind of, you know, good game, lived up to the expectations. You know, the Bears are just a solid team. Their defense is mean and nasty, and as long as Trubisky, you know, does his job, you know, they don't ask him to do, you know, everything, but they do ask him to do more than, you know, a lot of young quarterbacks. You know, he can run it, you know, one of the leading rushers for quarterbacks in the NFL, you know, accurate passer. And the Vikings, they played well in defense, too, gave him a stiff competition and kept their team in the game while their offense kind of sputtered for most of this game. But, you know, Kirk Cousins did not have the game he would like, but, you know, they need a rebound if they want to, you know, keep on track for the playoffs. But this is a huge statement win for the Bears and puts them in a really good position for this division. The division that I think at one time was going to be supposed to be one of the best, you know, the Bears kind of being, you know, the third seed. But, you know, now, you know, with the Vikings kind of middle of the road and the Packers falling fast, and the Bears are cruise control. They can just, you know, don't have any major hiccups the rest of the year.
Yeah, the NFC North goes by this, the Bears, the Vikings, Packers, and Lions. Who do you think will get the second spot in the NFC North?
Right now the Vikings are in a pretty good position for that, but, I mean, they don't care about that as long as they want to make sure they can get, if they don't win the division, to get one of those two wild cards in the NFC.
How do you view Trubisky? Do you view him as a top-tier quarterback or a mediocre quarterback?
Oh no, not top-tier quarterback yet. You know, still developing quarterback. I think he's in a really good system. Matt Nagy comes from the Andy Reid coaching tree. So, with Andy Reid, you know, learn from him, the best, if not the best play call in the NFL. Puts, you know, quarterbacks in a good position to make a lot of completions, you know, easy reads. He's got a long way to go if he wants to be, you know, a Tom Brady or Drew Brees. But, you know, for what they need right now, he's perfect.
Yesterday, the Redskins quarterback Alex Smith he broke his leg in their loss against the Texans 23-21. How significant is this loss for the Redskins?
It's pretty significant. You know, Alex Smith has been a pretty good year. The Redskins have just had a lot of bad luck. You know, look up and down their injury wire. They've lost a lot of players for the year. A lot of linemen on both sides of the ball. A couple of receivers, you know. So they're in a pretty tough spot right now. Fortunately for them, this division still isn't that strong, and they still have a chance. You know, the Cowboys are coming on strong. So, you know, they're going to kind of like turn to Colt McCoy for the rest of the year if nothing else changes. But this does leave an open spot, you know, for to sign, you know, a quarterback. We'll see what direction they go. If they just, you know, go for, you know, a veteran, you know, quick fix quarterback, or they go elsewhere to fill that quarterback vacancy.
Speaking about the Cowboys, has Amari Cooper helped out the Cowboys? Seems like they're on a good run going on.
They have been playing well since they got to the team. You know, they stumbled that first game, but now they got two wins in a row. they're looking, you know, they're in really good shape right now. Especially with, you know, the Eagles are, you know, a train wreck right now. The, you know, the Giants are nowhere to be found. You know, they're playing. Obviously, they've won two in a row, but, you know, they're too far back. But the the Cowboys are in really good shape. You know, as long as they don't have a long losing streak, you know, they keep going forward. I think, you know, we talk about matchups and Thanksgiving, you know, Cowboys and Redskins, you know, that's a big matchup for, you know, for momentum going towards the end of the year, especially, you know, how fast can Colt McCoy be able to come in and help the team. You know, there's always this thing about backup quarterback coming in, you know, usually they play pretty well because the defense has been preparing for them. Now that the Cowboys have a week to prepare for Colt McCoy, it'll be interesting to see how well he does on Thursday.
The Saints defeated the Eagles 48-7. Are the Saints unstoppable?
They are right now. You know, it's funny to think, you know, week one, you know, they get, you know, they lose a game to the Buccaneers, a team that's, you know, won't be making the playoffs, you know, and now they've run 9 or 10 in a row or something along those lines. They are pretty unstoppable right now. They beat the Rams, you know, they're going to win their division. So it's, you know, it's kind of up to them and the Rams and the NFC. You know, we'll see how that goes. But what really is striking me about the Rams, I mean, the Saints, is how well their defense is playing right now. You know, it's one thing to score the amount of points they do, but in history, you know, it tells us the Saints usually don't play well on defense. You know, they put all their eggs in the offense, but this is a pretty well-balanced team. And kind of reminds me of that Super Bowl team they had a couple years ago where their defense kept up with the offense in the regards of how well they played.
Yeah, the Saints with Kamara, Drew Brees, and the addition to Brandon Marshall. Not saying Brandon Marshall's reason why they're unstoppable, because they were unstoppable before he came in. But Mark Ingram doing fantastic. It's just one of those teams that are just not looked out. I mean, they're not, you know, they're there, but, you know, they're just like a sleeper sometimes. But this year, it seems like they're a threat. They're a force to be reckoned with. And also, yesterday, the Broncos stole a win against the Chargers, 23-22. What's going on with the Chargers? I mean, with the Broncos and the Chargers.
Well, that was kind of how, you know, as a Broncos fan, I feel like we stole something yesterday, Santiago. I mean, you look at the yards, look how the game went. You know, nothing says the Broncos should have won that game, but, you know, they fought hard. They kept themselves close. They, you know, took advantage of a couple of time errors by the Chargers. They gave them a chance to have the ball at the end of the game. And Case Keenum, you know, drove them down the field, and Brandon McManus kicked that winning field goal. But, you know, this year, you know, the Broncos don't have a great record. They're 4-6. But of those six losses, a lot of them will come down to the end of the game where they just haven't finished the game well. But, yesterday was a different story. You know, they got the stop when they needed to with the help of the Chargers play calling. And they took advantage. You know, Case Keenum had a couple of long passes, one to Emmanuel Sanders, one to Cortland Sutherland. Give him a chance to win. So this is a game to cut the Broncos' slim playoff chances alive, but also, you know, put a halt to a very hot 6-2 Chargers team. One of my biggest takeaways didn't happen on the field, but was in the stand. You know, this Chargers team, LA, since they moved to LA, has had a hard time building their identity in Los Angeles. They play in a very small football stadium, and a stadium that was, I would say, at least 50% Broncos fans yesterday. They don't control much of them. Even how good they're playing, they don't get much to the pub, you know. If they do talk about any pro team, they're talking about the Rams. So it's going to be interesting to see how the years come if this move from San Diego to Los Angeles is very will be successful for the Chargers franchise.
Yeah, it's usually, you know, neutral ground when you play at the Home Depot, at the StubHub Center. So we'll see what happens. I think having two teams in L.A. was too much right off the bat. I think they should start with one, you know, leave. I mean, obviously, Lily, there was complications in San Diego, but I think they should have started off in one because, you know, L.A. has had issues with football teams, right?
Yeah, I mean, they had two one day, now they're gone. You know, when L.A., they love the team they love the most is the Southern California Trojans football team. You know, when their SC's going well and, you know, they're doing good, the Coliseum is the place to be. And I just haven't felt, even with the Rams playing well, you look in the stands, and it's still only, you know, I know Coliseum is a huge stadium, but it's still only 75% filled. There's a lot of empty seats.
Yeah.
I know there's probably, you know, nothing is going to really, I'm not going to hold my judgment. I just want to add that fact. But until they build that brand new Mecca Stadium in Inglewood, you know, how the community is going to respond, you know, once they got one big stadium with two teams, you know, that's going to be where you're going to see if this is going to be successful or it's just going to be, was one big cash grab for both the Rams and the Chargers to move to L.A.
You think it's because a lot of outsiders live in L.A. and that's why, you know, there's not many local domestic fans?
This is not there. L.A., you know, every city, major city in the United States has kind of got their calling card with sports. You know, and L.A. is a very laid back, you know, they're not passionate about sports. You know, we the Lakers. And maybe Southern California football. But other than that, you know, it's, you know, they're laid back. They don't get too uptight about the games. They show up to the game late. They leave the game early. It's a weird trend. And it shows when you watch any major LA game, whether it be the Rams or if you even watch the World Series at the Dodgers, you know, you can kind of see L.A. is just a different animal. There's so many things to do in that Southern California area with the nice weather. Very similar to Miami in the sense of if you don't put a good product, you know, on the field or court, you know, they're just not going to show up.
Yeah, that's a typical situation, I guess, in warmer climates. I know up north, they definitely are dedicated to their teams no matter if they have a big losing streak or not, they show up.
But then you look at a place like Chicago, you know, they may grumble about their Bears or what, you know, Cubs, but they show up, you know, because that's the mentality that those cities is that they're blue collar, you know, doesn't matter what the temperature is outside, they're going to fill up the stadium and they're going to root hard no matter, you know, how good or bad their team is.
Let's get into college football. This past weekend, Notre Dame defeated Syracuse 36-3. It was not much of a game, but what were your thoughts?
That's quite a statement by Notre Dame. You know, this is probably their last major test before, you know, the end of the season. You know, they have one more game where they're going to show up to play the aforementioned Southern California Trojans. But, you know, SC is not having a great year. So this is a chance, you know, to show the whole country, you know, how good they are against an upstart Syracuse football team that was 8-2 coming into the game. You know, they knocked out Syracuse's starting quarterback early and Syracuse never had a shot. And I don't think they would have had much of a shot anyways, whether Eric Dungy is starting quarterback state or not. But I was extremely impressed how balanced this football team is on all sides of the ball. You know, great run defense, pass defense, you know, they ran the ball well on offense, you know, and Ian Book is so accurate that football takes care of it. You know, they got good skill positions. This is a very good team. Are they up with Alabama and Clemson? Probably not, but, you know, they're probably going to be the third seed coming into the playoffs, but it's, you know, probably most likely playing Clemson in the first round unless something major happens in the next week or so. You know, but I think that'll be a very good game because I think, you know, Clemson is vulnerable because they do have a, you know, a true freshman quarterback.
And another game was really close. Ohio State defeated Maryland 52-51. I mean, does that implicate Ohio State a little bit?
Yeah, Ohio State's not in a good position right now, Santiago. Great effort by Dwayne Haskins and Dobbins to keep themselves in the game and keep their slim, you know, playoff chances, you know, alive with the big game, literally the big game against Michigan this week. But this team is a train wreck on defense with all the talent they have. It's not scheme. They got great coaches. They're just, you know, they're inexperienced in the back end. Their linemen haven't performed up to how good they are, but, you know, they got ran right over by Maryland on Saturday. But, you know, they got the win, so they keep their chances alive, but they're very, very slim chances right now, Santiago. Even though they just have one loss, there's not a lot of positive feelings about this team. And just on a side note, this committee has definitely reflected their standings a lot on not just winning games, but how you perform while you win games. So that's why you're going to see Ohio State probably be passed by UCF this week.
Interesting. We'll see what happens this weekend. Florida State defeated Boston College 22-21.
Yeah, good win for Florida State. Keeps their bowl chances alive. They got to beat the Gators this Saturday. But, you know, it was a kind of a shining light in a bad season for Florida State. Got a long touchdown pass when with about 2 minutes left in the game to take the lead, and they held on until the end.
And Texas defeated Iowa State 24-10.
Yeah, big win for Texas. Puts them in a chance to probably go into the Big 12 championship game to face either Oklahoma or West Virginia. Texas, they lost their quarterback, Sam Ellinger, but a very good backup quarterback in Shane Bichelle, held the ship together, didn't give Iowa State much of a chance to come back. And just a strong defensive performance by Texas. They came in with a good reputation on defense, but the last couple weeks have struggled to stop anybody. So it was good to get play well on defense and get that victory.
And finally, UCF defeated Cincinnati 38-13.
Big win for UCF. Big day for UCF. They're not going to the playoffs. Everybody knows that. Unfortunately, going two straight seasons without a loss, and I really have nothing to show for other than probably two New Year's Six bowl games. But this Saturday was a day for the Group of Five to be showcased to show that there is good football outside the Power Five. With game day coming down to Central Florida, showcase how strong of a fan base they have. It was just a fun day for UCF, knowing that, I don't think Cincinnati had a chance to amped up UCF was all day. They just, they have such good athletes. Santiago, they don't have the size to compete with Alabama or Clemson, their athletes, but they're so fast. And that's what makes them dangerous in the Group of Five is that while they don't have the big, strong athletes, they're quick and they run good in space and both sides of the ball, But in the end of the day, we know they're not going to playoffs. We do know they're a great team and they're a great story.
Very great story. Good story. We'll see what happens with UCF. Maybe have a better schedule next year. I think they definitely could build on this momentum they've had these past couple of years. Are you ready for some predictions?
Let's do it.
Tonight, the big game of the weekend, the Chiefs at the Rams.
What a game, Santiago. Interesting, the game being moved from Mexico City to Los Angeles due to field conditions. It's going to be hard to tell who's going to win the game. I think it's going to be one of those games, whoever has the ball last, because I think both teams will score in at least the 30s, not the 40s. But I'm going to go with the home team, the Rams, today to win the game.
The Rams win at Olympic Coliseum Stadium. Let's go for Thanksgiving matches. Chicago at Detroit Lions.
Detroit desperately needs this game to stay alive. They're home. Chicago play late on Sunday night. To go and play early on Thursday is kind of ridiculous, if you ask me. So I'm going to go with Detroit in this game.
Redskins at the Cowboys. Classic Thanksgiving.
We talked about the importance of this game. Colt McCoy starting for the Redskins. they're so banged up, Santiago, the Redskins. I don't think the Cowboys are a great team. They are playing well, but I'm just going to go with the boys on Thursday.
What do you think about Mark Sanchez practicing, working out with the Redskins?
Well, that's the thing, you know, there's... We know Mark Sanchez is limited, but he's a professional quarterback. He's gone out there and done that, and that's what you want out of backup. I know he's not going to be flashy, and there's going to be some negative connotation, but that's what you want out of backup quarterback. You don't want, you don't need some, you know, flashy quarterback with a big name that's not, you know, aka like a Johnny Manziel type. You need a guy that, you know, if something happens to Colt McCoy, that Mark Sanchez is going to come in there and he's going to run an offense and give you a chance to work. Is he going to make spectacular plays? No. That's not what you brought him in for. So you brought him in to, you know, be a good, you know, leadership guy. And that's what I think the Redskins are looking for. They know what they get out of Colt McCoy. And Colt McCoy is another backup quarterback who's going to run your offense. He's not going to be doing anything crazy. But he's had so many starts and he's won games. He's only won games for the Redskins against the Cowboys. That's why he's still around. He's not, you know, he's not big. He doesn't have a big arm, but he's a professional quarterback who does his job. And I know, as I'm still picking the Cowboys, I just, you know, just want to, you know, give a little kudos to Mr. Colt McCoy there.
Cowboys typically win on Thanksgiving. The Falcons at the Saints.
What has happened to the Falcons? A team that, you know, have so much great potential on offense, and they do. They're playing well on offense, probably not as good as they should be. You know, they've had some injuries at defense, but, you know, it's definitely an underachieving team. But the Saints are just playing so well, and I just can't see anybody beating the Saints right now. Even coming off, you know, a strong emotional game Thursday or Sunday to come and play on Thursday, but the Saints should win. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but it should be an entertaining Sunday or Thursday night game on NBC.
For Thanksgiving, towards the end, if you're not shopping, you're watching that game. Let's go into college. Oklahoma at West Virginia.
Big game Friday night. Little Black Friday football action here. Winner goes to the Big 12 championship game. Home team, West Virginia. I think I'm going to go with the Mountaineers in this game, Santiago. Wow.
That's a key matchup, isn't it? That's, I mean, they're playing for
huge matchup
for the playoffs.
Huge.
Yeah. Washington at Washington State.
Another Friday night, Black Friday special. Washington State, magical season, Gardner Minshew. I think an underrated Heisman candidate. I hope he gets to Mule. I think, you know, they haven't been able to get over the hump against Washington lately. But I think this year, being at home, I'm going to pick the Cougars to beat the Washington Huskies.
Ooh. Michigan at Ohio State.
The big game. Two one-loss teams. This, you know, game needs a little bit more than Michigan because they are in the playoffs and they will be tied at 4-3 going into the game. They haven't beaten Ohio State in a couple of years. So I'm going to go with Big Blue here to beat Ohio State.
Big Blue wins. Syracuse at Boston College.
Two teams that went into this game. You know, both teams want to get, you know, one more victory before the end of the year. I'm going to go Boston College is at home. I'm going to go out to Boston College to win this game, not knowing the health of Eric Dungy.
Boston College wins. And finally, Utah State at Boise State.
Another group of five special, Santiago. Thank you for letting me talk about this game. Utah State, one of the best affiliates in college football. Blown loss of the year is opening Friday night game against Michigan State game where, you know, they played well. They should have won that game. They should be undefeated going this game, playing against a very hot Boise State team who just beat Fresno State at home. Late night, you know, Saturday night special. I recommend all you guys out there, you know, stay up for this game. It's going to be a well of a football game. You know, Mountain West special here. With that saying, I think Utah State's a great team, a great story. But I am going to go with the Broncos to pull this game out. So Boise State.
Boise State wins for the weekend. Ryan, what is your Thanksgiving tradition to end the show?
You know, I'm going to be at home. I got, we'll host about 20 to 25 people on Thursday. You know, so we'll, you know, have the traditional turkey dinner, some pies, probably, you know, turkey dinner during the Lions game, pies during the Cowboys game. That's always what I think of, and hope to stay awake for the Saints and Falcons at the end.
That's a tough one, but, you probably don't have to worry about it because the first half, it might be determined by, in the first half.
Yes, and then you can't go all in because San Diego, it's a big weekend of football here. And before I even say that, you know, Monday, you know, today, tomorrow, Wednesday, if you, for some late night viewing, there is going to be some great basketball being played in the Kauai during the Maui Classic for college basketball. What a feel, San Diego, Gonzaga, Duke, you know, Xavier, Auburn, San Diego State. It's going to be, you know, Arizona. There's going to be some awesome basketball played. My prediction that Gonzaga will beat Duke in the final on Wednesday night.
Yeah. College basketball is coming into the picture more and more toward this time of season, during this time of year. So we'll for sure get into more in depth into college basketball, you know, now that we're going towards March.
I know we got
March.
Focused on some football, but I just want to add that before.
No, that's fine. I mean, this is a sports cast. We could talk about anything with sports related. But, yeah, definitely we'll be getting more into college basketball. Ty is definitely college basketball. Ryan is. And, of course, Justin Riley is the NIT commentator for the season.
Oh, boom. Alabama.
We don't know. I mean, obviously, you know, they could make it, but, you know, you just see like the whole dynamic, you know, of how a college puts more money towards one sport, obviously, you know, football. But hey, I mean, if I was the executive owner, I'd probably do the same.
Well, I mean, that's just an SEC mentality.
Yeah.
I'm in this kind of thing, Diego, you know, the little college, but, you know, a couple years ago, the SEC might really struggle, you know. The SEC basketball is really about one team, and that's Kentucky.
Yeah.
So, you know, Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, was kind of sick and tired of only getting one or two teams into the tournament for a couple of years. Wow. So then he went and brought in Mike Trangisi, who is a former Big East commissioner, which back in the old Big East was all about basketball. So, you know, they put a lot of, you know, time and money into improving these basketball teams and scheduling. You know, last year they got 7-8 teams into the tournament. So there is a big difference in your SEC and their mentality. And don't kind of, you know, I'm not a big Alabama fan, and, you know, but Avery Johnson's a great coach, and, you know, I think they're in good hands. So maybe not the tournament this year. They lose Colin Sexton, but, you know, we'll see.
We'll see what happens. Ryan, how can people reach you?
Probably the best is on Twitter at the Mad Dog Report 18.
Mad Dog Report will be busy this week. He's hosting Thanksgiving. He's watching football games, watching basketball. You can't go wrong. And, well, anyways, if you're on YouTube, please subscribe, Periscope, follow us, iTunes, hit that subscribe button, leave a rating and a review. Ryan, I appreciate you coming on the Thanksgiving week sportscast.
No problem, Santiago. Thanks for having me, and I love you, Mindy and Cleet. Bye-bye.